The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
He was released in July, within months, by December of 2010. You went to stay with him at his New York mansion. Why? Why were you staying with a convicted sex offender?
Right. I have always, ever since this has happened, and since this has become, as it were, public knowledge that I was there, I've questioned myself as to why did I go, what was I doing, and was it the right thing to do? Now, I went there with the sole purpose of saying to him that because he had been convicted, it was inappropriate for us to be seen together. And I felt that doing it over the telephone was the chicken's way of doing it. I had to go and see him and talk to him. And I went to see him, and I was doing a number of other things in New York at the time, and we had an opportunity to go for a walk in the park. And that was the conversation, coincidentally, that was photographed, which was when I said to him, I said, look, because of what has happened, I don't think it is appropriate that we should remain in contact. And by mutual agreement during that walk in the park, we decided that we would part company, and I left, I think it was the next day. And to this day, I never had any contact with him from that day forward.
Britain's former Prince Andrew has been arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office. Now known as Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, he was taken into custody in Norfolk just a short while ago. He is accused of allegedly sharing confidential information with the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Mountbatten Windsor has previously denied any wrongdoing over his ties to Epstein. King Charles had stripped his brother of his titles back in October and has since evicted him from Windsor.
But what is going on? Why is everything so negative toward the royal family? There is a reason why. And I can tell you very specifically, they have forsaken the covenant that God made with David, that which they were the heart of for so many years.
How the royal family in Britain has fallen, and really, you can go back, it goes before 2017, of course, but you go back to 2017 when the new Throne of David booklet, or the content that became that booklet, was revealed, and then all that my father there wrote in the new Throne of David about the decline and how that it's just going to be precipitous now. It's going to get worse, and it certainly has. Prince Andrew, or who was formerly Prince Andrew, on his 66th birthday, arrested in Britain earlier today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. If you'd like to email the program, you can submit feedback at td@thetrumpet.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to rumble.com/Trumpet Daily, and you can leave a comment underneath the episode. Of course, that channel and our website, thetrumpet.com, gives you the opportunity to watch all of these programs after the fact if you'd like to watch on demand. So, big news out of the UK, and I understand most people in the United States are not interested in this, but this is significant. This is the old throne of David. This is the British royal family. Prince Andrew. This is from Richard Palmer's Morning Brief, where he says the charges relate to asking an official police bodyguard in the UK to dig up dirt on a girl accusing him of rape. Prince Andrew was accused of rape, and he used his bodyguards to dig up dirt on her. And there he was in the cold open. That was back in 2019. Explaining that, well, I just had to go to New York. I just had to go to Jeffrey Epstein's house and tell him that that's it. This was 2010, the year after he's out of prison on sex charges with minors. So I gave a whole program on this last week, but I had a lot of leftover content. So we'll try to get to some of that today. In addition to the new revelations. I mean, how seedy and disgusting is all of this? Not just for Prince Andrew, but as I said last week on the show, that was last Friday, all of these powerful elites connected to such filth. And most of it's just covered up. Last week I kept saying, is it just Jeff? Is Jeff the only one that's guilty? Now you have Prince Andrew in the mix, and really, like Mr. Palmer brings out in the morning brief, it's evidently it's not for the sex offenses. You know, that's just, you know, sexual misconduct and adultery and promiscuous sex, even with minors, it's not that big of a deal. Not like it used to be. But I mean, giving trade secrets, insider trading, secrets from the British government, now that crosses a line. We've got to go after him for that. But the sexual perversions, how bad does it have to get? It seems like the only time it even comes up is when, you know, Democrats feel like they can destroy a Republican for any kind of sexual misconduct. That's when they turn, you know, righteous. That's when they become righteous preachers, when they can take down a Republican. And of course, if there's a Democrat caught up in it, Republicans don't care. They just turn a blind eye to it. Maybe because they would feel hypocritical if they did go after them. Or maybe because, as I say, they just think, well, that's just a, you know, what a person does in the privacy of his own bedroom. What does it matter? I mean, we went through this back in the 1990s, and we said in the Character in Crisis booklet, it does matter. But look at where we are today, 25, 30 years on. It's just like Joel Hilliker wrote in Redefining Family. It's such a slippery slope. 2011, 12, I mean, the big debate, homosexual marriage, Obama flip-flopping. I mean, and now we're just headlong into trans rights and also trans mass shootings, as we've covered on this program recently, because there have been so many. These are some of the suspected charges for Prince Andrew. Passed on confidential documents to Jeffrey Epstein while working as Britain's trade envoy. Well, there's a lot of members of Congress that got rich, filthy rich, on insider trading. None of them have been held to account. What's the big deal that Prince Andrew got away with it? It seems like there's more and more lawlessness that's just, you know, it doesn't really rise to the level of being significant or of being punishable. Mountbatten Windsor has also been accused of working with Epstein in sex trafficking. However, that's unlikely to be the subject of this morning's arrest. It looks like, it says in his trumpet brief, Andrew and Peter Mandelson may have been a key reason why Epstein was so rich. They pass on key commercial information. Epstein uses it to get rich on the stock market and then get girls for Andrew and cash for Mandelson as kickbacks. What a world. I mean, this is right at the top tier of American government, of British government, Ephraim and Manasseh. Are we being blessed or are we being cursed? I mean, you listen to President Trump this morning at the so-called peace event. He's going on and on about how great he is and everyone that's working with him is and how great world leaders are and how much peace and love is spreading around the world. It's really unbelievable. I mean, it's complete fantasy. We can talk about love and religion and righteousness all that we want. But what are we doing? What are we doing? My father says toward the end of the Lamentations booklet, the new booklet that we released, I think back in September, He says, you know, there's something that we must do. We need to do. I think it's in Lamentations 3. Why don't we read it? Lamentations coming right after Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 3. And this section talk, I mean, this whole book is about the horrifying tribulation that our peoples are going through because of our sins. And what's the way out? Lamentations 3, here in verse 40, it says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the eternal. We have to search God's word. We have to look at our ways, try our ways, examine our ways, and then turn back to God. Is Prince Andrew the one fall guy and now everything else goes away? Well, we'll see. I mean, as I said last Friday, there's some diplomats in Europe that have had to resign in disgrace. And the point that I made last week still stands. I mean, it's in Europe, it's in the UK, but what about here in the US? You heard from Marjorie Taylor Greene, who said that President Trump didn't want to release all of the files because it would hurt some of his friends. And yet there he is with the Board of Peace event. And so far as we could tell, nothing really happened there. It was just speakers congratulating each other on how much peace they've made. Boy, this world is in for a rude awakening. And we talk about, it's just strange to me to hear them talk about the return of dead hostages and how great that is. And how, I mean, the Israeli parents, they were just so moved to receive those corpses back. And I'm sure they were, to sort of put closure on a horrific two and a half years. But I think if I'm in that situation, I'd rather hear news that Hamas has been completely disarmed. They have been destroyed. But we don't hear about that. What we hear about is a Gaza wonderland, you know, with Hamas officials still as police officers, but let that go. I mean, it's still going to be a vacation paradise. Europeans by the hundreds of thousands are going to New Gaza for vacations. Complete fantasy. What has happened to Republican thinking or conservative thinking? It's hard to believe. It's hard to stomach. You know, 20, 30, 40 minutes of backslapping. Congratulations. Everybody loves Steve Witkoff. Everybody thinks he's great. He's the second coming of Henry Kissinger, except that he doesn't leak. What? A lot of arrogance. A lot of diplomats, a lot of elites that are sure that they're bringing peace to this world. And as for the Epstein files, enough. Enough with that hoax. Let's move on. We've got peace to make. How about if we make peace with God by doing what's stated here in Lamentations 3 and verse 40? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to God. We need to turn to God. Turn to God. This is from the Daily Mail. Treason is a strong word, but how else would you describe the actions of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor? It seems that the British national interest counted for little when weighed against Andrew's wish to stay cozy with his close friend Jeffrey Epstein and his lucrative connections in the world of finance. Notice the sex sins. It doesn't really matter. Look, let's talk about the world of finance. Let's talk about trade secrets. Let's talk about insider trading. Never mind the little girls. Never mind the prostitution ring. Never mind the adulterous relationships. The closer to the center of Andrew we get, the more putrid the stench. And now comes compelling evidence that he has been selling out his own country. Well, I mean, the Bidens did it. They got away with it. Why shouldn't he get away with it? If you apply the same standard, I mean, the Biden family, they were selling state secrets. And Obama knew it. Hillary knew it. Donald Trump knows it. Pam Bondi knows it. Who was the tough AG? Bill Barr. You think Bill Barr knows it? Bill Barr had the laptop. Bill Barr had the laptop. They've got all, I mean, Comer, Jim Jordan, they've uncovered all the receipts, the money transfers going to the Biden family. What else do we need? I mean, they got Trump on a mortgage loan. You need more evidence? You can travel the world. You can live it up with prostitutes and cocaine. You can talk about it after the fact like Hunter did on a CBS interview. You can talk about how strung out you were and just wasted away on drugs and not pay your alimony and not give child support. You do all those things. But if you're Donald Trump, you better not exaggerate the value of Mar-a-Lago, which he didn't, by the way, but they said that he did. So let's bring him into court. Hey, bring him in cuffs if you can. This is not God's world. Can't make that point enough. Daily Mail says no member of the royal family since Edward VIII, who gave up his throne in 1936 and later hobnobbed and colluded with the Nazis, has done the monarchy more harm than Mountbatten Windsor. What a shame. A century. Hasn't happened in a century. Down goes the British royal family, and it would be even more of a scandal had the king not stripped him of his titles and kicked him out, basically, a while back. He knew this was coming. Listen to this from Piers Morgan, clip one.
I mean, to put this into context, there has been no member of the royal family arrested in my lifetime. I'm 60 years old. You have to go back centuries to the last time that a member of the British royal family was arrested. And this is a serious matter. If he is convicted of misconduct in public office, then the vast majority of people that receive that kind of conviction end up with a prison sentence, and the maximum sentence is life imprisonment. And this is the king's brother who remains eighth in line to the throne. For the king's brother to be arrested and then to, in my opinion now, start a chain of events rolling which the royal family had no control over. You know, once the police are investigating, seizing evidence, who knows where this may go? So this might just be the tipping point of a gigantic scandal, which represents, I would argue, an existential threat to the monarchy itself. It is that serious. And these are huge seismic moments in the royal family's history. I have never seen a bigger threat to the future of the monarchy than what is unfurling right now.
Here again, those paragraphs in the New Throne of David book from 2018, I mean, they're just ringing in our ears, those of us that have read it, because this is exactly what my father said was coming. And of course, back then he was talking about, you know, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle and just how they, you know, they didn't really want the throne. They didn't really want to be king. Harry, Andrew. They just want to cozy up to the world. They just want to be like the world, except with all of the riches and the wealth and the fame. They want that too. I mean, Jeffrey Epstein wanted that. Prince Andrew evidently wanted him to have that, Prince Epstein. Skip to, this is the ABC News report on Prince Andrew's arrest, clip three.
But the emails from the Department of Justice suggest that when he was in these conversations in places like Singapore, Hong Kong, I've got a list here in front of me, other countries that he went to, he would then have these kind of confidential documents in these emails, and then it looks like he was forwarding them on to Jeffrey Epstein, another one here from Vietnam, another from China. So If you look at the date on some of these emails as well, that is what is interesting. One of them here in front of me from 2010. Of course, that's well after Jeffrey Epstein had already faced charges for soliciting sex from a minor. So that is goes to the heart of this entire issue around Andrew and Epstein. The relationship that he had with that convicted sex offender went far beyond the time which he said that he had broken all contact with him. People at home might remember the disastrous interview he gave in 2019 to the BBC, where he said that he had traveled to the United States, to New York, to sever his ties with Jeffrey Epstein, that he was there to basically explain to him that he no longer wanted to be in communication with him. These emails from the Department of Justice suggest that that was not true, that he basically lied about his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein in that interview.
He basically lied, the reporter said. I mean, at least he used the word lie. Let's give him credit. But it's amazing how we just kind of gloss over things or maybe sugarcoat it a little bit. No, he lied. He sat in a BBC interview. I was living in the UK at the time. I mean, this was big news. I think we played some clips on the Trumpet Daily at that time. Yeah, I mean, as soon as I learned about the conviction and the prison sentence, I went straight over there to his mansion. And then a walk with Epstein in the park in Central Park in New York. That's where the photo was snapped. And I told him, that's it. No more contact. Here's a bit more from that disastrous interview in November 2019, clip 4.
But I didn't have much time with him. I suppose I saw him once or twice a year, perhaps maybe maximum of 3 times a year. And quite often, if I was in the United States and doing things, and if he wasn't there, he would say, well, why don't you come and use my houses? So I said, that's very kind. Thank you very much indeed. But it would be a considerable stretch to say that he was a very, very close friend. But he had the most extraordinary ability to bring extraordinary people together. And that's the bit that I remember, is going to the dinner parties where you would meet academics, politicians, people from the United Nations. I mean, it was a cosmopolitan group of what I would describe as US eminence.
Was that his appeal then? Was that what you, because you were perceived by the public as being the party prince. Was that something you shared?
I think that's also a bit of a stretch. I don't know why I've collected that title, because I never have really partied. After I got married, I was very happy, and I've never really felt the need to go and party. And certainly going to Jeffrey's was not about partying. Absolutely not.
Absolutely not, he said in 2019. At one point, this is what he said about the convicted pedophile. He had the most extraordinary ability to bring extraordinary people together. I mean, that almost sounds like something you'd hear at the Board of Peace event. This is extraordinary. The world's never seen anything like it. Now, what about these things going on behind the scenes? Never mind. Listen, we don't want to harm some of our friends. We don't want to make some of our friends look bad. He had an extraordinary ability to bring extraordinary people together. Like Obama's chief counsel and Bill Gates, and go right down the line. Ehud Barak. It goes on and on and on. The list, the client list, Bill Clinton. And how many are held to account? Well, we got Jeff. We got Jeff, Ghislaine, and now Mountbatten can be added to the list. Not for the sex crimes. That's reserved for Jeff. The only one guilty of sex crimes is Jeff. And then the only one guilty of sex trafficking is Ghislaine. I mean, we're talking about billions of dollars exchanging hands. We're talking about who knows how many victims. I mean, we've got to black out and redact so much of these files because there's so many victims. But who really cares about that? Let's just protect the reputations of our friends. and move on and talk about peace and love and talk about how great Kushner and Witkoff are and how wonderful all these world leaders are, including leaders of terrorist groups or sponsors of terrorist groups. Here's a bit more from CNN, clip 6.
And I did write down some details of the emails that could be in question here. Around 2010, he appears to have forwarded government report visits, details of those visits in Vietnam, Singapore, China. There are emails that indicate that Mountbatten Windsor forwarded investment opportunities for gold and uranium in Afghanistan. He had a duty of confidentiality between 2001 and 2011 as trade envoy. Did he abuse the public office? Did he violate government information? Did he violate the pact for confidentiality? That is the question the police are asking right now.
And here again, leaving aside what he did, what he didn't do, as I said on the program last Friday, I don't need to go through all the scriptures again, but you know, who you associate with matters. And once you know, supposing what he said in 2019 is true, I went to New York to cut all the ties, and then the emails show that he didn't do that. So he lied, and then he continued to associate with the pedophile. So that tells you what you need to know. You don't even really need to get into the nitty-gritty. Did he do this? Did he do this? Can we get him for this? Is there evidence? And this is the way it works in the judicial system in the UK, in the United States. And that's why it's just strung out over the course of years and years and years, oftentimes. What he said and what he did, they didn't align, did they? And we're seeing a lot of that in the world today. What people say and then what they do. This is why Jesus said in Matthew 7, we've got to judge by the fruits. We've got to look at what people are doing, not so much what they're saying. There's a strain of hypocrisy in all of us. And we all, human nature, that's the way human nature is. It wants to make itself look good and righteous and holy, even while it commits heinous acts of sin. It takes a miracle from God. A miracle to have a heart like God's, where you just won't sin because, well, you won't. You know it's wrong. You know it'll bring curses. You know it'll just add to other layers of sin that you'll put on top of it to try to cover it up. Human nature is exactly as God describes it in the Bible. Jeremiah 17:9, Romans 8:7, and approximately 100 or 200 other scriptures. In the Daily Mail, it says here, it seems that the British national interest counted for little when weighed against Andrew's wish to stay cozy with his close friend, Jeffrey Epstein, and his lucrative connections in the world of finance. It's just like the Obama lawyer, I forget her name. She says, yeah, we did some business together. That's it. We weren't friends. And then the files come out and there's 10,000 exchanges between them. 10,000! Prince Andrew and Jeff Epstein were tight. They were friends. You just heard him there. You read between the lines. You know, there was this, I wouldn't say we're close friends, but he had the extraordinary ability to bring extraordinary people together. The Spectator says, which makes this morning's news that, well, going back to, ever since the restoration of Charles II in 1660, no member of the royal family has been arrested, which makes this morning's news. I mean, this is crazy. It's happening. Which makes this morning's news that Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has been taken into police custody under suspicion of misconduct in public office, all the more seismic. The arrest represents not so much the beginning of the end as the point at which the Rubicon has been crossed forever. The arrest of a senior member of the royal family, a man who still remains eighth in line to the throne, is the most unprecedented occurrence that there has been in living memory. This is like, it's like you're reading it out of the pages of the New Throne of David book. If you don't have that book, by the way, make sure you call our operators today and request your free copy. There's no cost, no obligation. Whatever happens over the coming hours and days, it represents an extraordinary jaw-dropping development that opens up the possibility that Windsor will serve a prison sentence at his brother's pleasure, in prison while his brother reigns as king. How the mighty have fallen. That was brought out on Sky News Australia, clip 10.
Again, we are talking about history before our eyes, and that is what's worth noting as we speak.
It's wild, isn't it, Paul? Let's not forget, this is the man that had everything. A military hero, served in the Royal Navy, the Falklands War, the best-looking member of the royal family, endless girlfriends. The world was his oyster. Of course, he was the Queen's favourite son. And what would the Queen make of these shocking pictures and this shocking set of headlines surrounding Andrew? How the mighty have fallen.
How the mighty have fallen, he says. My father, as I say, he wrote quite a lot about this in 2017, 2018. Listen to what he said in a Key of David program. This is from June 20th, 2018, clip 8.
This throne, this new throne, and David's throne always has unified people. It unifies this church. It unifies, or is going to unify the entire world. It's going to unify everybody. There is a new throne that's prophesied to be on this earth in the latter days, and that is the time that we're living in right now. And it's a monumental hope for this world, no matter what happens as far as man is ruling over man. There is the best news you could possibly hear, and of course it's called the gospel. But this truth can galvanize your life and fill you with joy and hope as nothing else can. And I'm not just saying that, this is not a fantasy. You can do that, and it will work in your life.
Isn't it obvious that Satan is going after the old throne? You really see Satan's agenda here. I mean, the throne of David should galvanize the world. The whole world will soon unify around the throne of David. And Satan hates that Key of David vision. He hates it. So what my father said would happen in 2017 has happened. Look at, instead of rallying the royal family and the British people and the whole world, well, the family itself is divided, whether it's Harry or Meghan or now Andrew or whoever it is. In the world tomorrow, it's going to be different. It's like the throne of David is going to be the anchor, and the whole world is going to be attached to it and love it and be galvanized by it. Here's one more from that same episode, clip 9.
And God says, I'll give special protection to anybody who does my work. And here he says, I will give you a new throne, and there's going to be a new stone. And it's an amazing story of how that stone came into being, which is a symbol of the throne of David and also a symbol of Jesus Christ, as I said before. Has the old family, royal family, lost the protection of God? Well, I'll tell you this, whoever has that throne has a special protection from God, because God made a promise that it would never end.
Wow, he says there that old family, he's talking about the British royal family, have they lost God's protection from God? That's a comment my father made in 2018. In 2017, he said, what is wrong with Britain and the royal family? Britain has become an immoral cesspool, and the royal family is going right along with it. I mean, it's like Prince Andrew typifies this immoral cesspool. He went right along with it. You heard the commentator. Yeah, he's the best looking of the lot. And boy, he's had all these girlfriends. But you know, with Epstein, it was just trade secrets. And I think there's a little more to the story than that. Britain no longer has such respect for the Bible, my father says, or for God. There is an indisputable connection between Britain losing its belief in God and his connection to the monarchy and the massive changes for the worse in Britain's outlook, attitudes, morals, and ethos. Britain has lost its faith in God, my father said, its faith in God and King, and lost its moral moorings at the same time. He goes on and talks about how the Church of England has lost its moral authority. I mean, what is happening in Britain? What is happening in the United States? It's fulfillment of prophecy right before our eyes. You reject the throne of David, and this is what happens. And by the way, the one that comes in the spirit of Jeroboam here in the United States, I mean, God says his chief sin is rejecting the throne of David. That's what leads to God's people being kicked out of the country. Amos 7 brings this out. Read it. Tomorrow's News Today. Last week on the program, we played this clip from Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's on this podcast talking about the Epstein files and why President Trump, never mind what he said when campaigning, but when he got back in for the second term, why he has worked so hard to cover up the Epstein files and accuse those who want to know what's in there of believing a hoax. Here's that clip again, clip 12.
And I got yelled at by the president over this. This is why he called me a traitor. He called me a traitor because I would not take my name off the discharge petition because I stood firmly and said, no, we're going to release the Epstein files. I'm standing with women who were raped as teenagers. I'm not standing with the government. I don't support the cover up of all of this stuff, whatever it may be. And the president got mad at me and he told me, and I've said this multiple times, he told me his friends would get hurt. And that's what he told me. And then we're seeing a continued slow walk and cover up of a lot of this information. And I know that is why. I firmly believe that that's why it is being covered up.
So many crimes, so many sins, and yet a slow walk and a cover up, as she says there. And why? Well, so many of my friends would be hurt by the release of these files. We can't hurt friends. These are good people. These are maybe even extraordinary people that we're talking about here. Sundance over at Conservative Treehouse. He's been trying to connect some of the dots between Jeffrey Epstein and Steve Bannon, who used to be in President Trump's government back during the first term, and then went on to leave the government, started his War Room podcast, and I think it was 2019, right around the time Epstein died, or whatever happened to Epstein in that jail cell. It says, Steve Bannon always, this is Sundance, Steve Bannon always seemed to be much like Kellyanne Conway, an advocate for whoever was financing him. I'm just here to advocate for the one who's paying my bills. There's a lot of people like that in this world. It's not like it's limited to one or two. From Robert Rebecca Mercer at Breitbart, forward to an endeavor thereafter, it always just appeared the same. That said, with the release of the Epstein files, the relationship between Steve Bannon and Jeffrey Epstein is something the conservative treehouse did not expect. I mean, even Sundance is shocked. Bannon and Epstein were very close and talked to each other about seemingly everything. They were so close. How could this be? They were close. This latest batch of files reveals right up until Epstein died in 2019. How could this be? How could Prince Andrew be so tight with him? How could this top lawyer for Obama be so tight with him? And so many others. Sundance says there's a solid argument to be made that the Bannon War Room was funded or organized in the funding mechanisms by Jeffrey Epstein. And so Sundance says, I mean, you really have to call into question the credibility of all these people that have come in and out of the War Room studio for interviews and comments and so on. How much did they know? How much did Bannon know about Epstein? Well, evidently it was everything, because he wanted to create a documentary to try to, you know, refashion his reputation, to repair his damaged reputation. He's a convicted pedophile. So let's create a documentary that's just a puff piece that says, hey, he has the extraordinary ability to bring extraordinary people together. And then all of this, you know, these humanitarian works and efforts and aids, I mean, look at him. He's donating to this cause. He's donating to that cause. How could he be bad? The files of messages between them contain some shocking stuff happening in the background while Steve Bannon was in very close proximity to candidate and President Trump. It says here, the level of disdain Bannon had for Donald Trump's family and for Donald Trump himself is really something conservative Treehouse did not expect to see. I mean, if anyone is a staunch advocate of President Trump, you would think it'd be Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon may have been focused on the financial gains and perhaps networks of people and his association with Epstein, but he certainly got deep into it and expressed extreme praise for Epstein, even going so far as to call him a god. These were two men in a very close relationship. There is no political or ideological distance between Bannon and Epstein. Does this surprise you? Do you think anything will come of it? The level of expressed skullduggery that has been going on for years in the background is very unsettling to accept, says Sundance. And I say that as a person who doesn't customarily get shocked by duplicity. It's so common. It's so pervasive. It's everywhere. This is not about division. I mean, we've made that point, this divide between, you know, MAGA. I mean, there's just, you look at the division. I mean, it is a problem. There is division. I mean, Tucker's in Israel yesterday. He wouldn't leave Ben Gurion Airport because I don't know why. Maybe he didn't like to go around Israel, whatever it was. But then he and his producer, they get detained, as Tucker said. And really what that, anybody who's traveled to Israel, and I'm sure Tucker's been there many, many times over the years, is Israeli security is known for questioning you in detail, even separating you and your colleague to make sure your stories align. This is not unusual. But here Tucker's, he's tweeting out like his producer has been arrested in some communist state somewhere and then taken to a dungeon hole in the wall somewhere. Why are we, what is this about? Why go after Jews? Why so much division in MAGA? Why so much cover-up of filth and squalor and sins and lawlessness? It's because we're being overtaken by our sins. We're just being overwhelmed by them. Division, strife, Jew hatred, sex trafficking, prostitution rings, pedophilia, rape. Are these things that we can just kind of gloss over with a broad brush and say, you know, really though, peace and love. Everybody loves Steve Witkoff. What a statement to make. It says here, while putting on MAGA, a MAGA face for the War Room broadcast. Well, let me just back up. He says, it's not about division. This is about something more akin to betrayal. While putting on a MAGA face for the War Room broadcast, in the background, Bannon was actually plotting and advising of ways to eliminate Donald Trump from Republican politics. Did you know this? I mean, supposing you are a big fan of MAGA, did you know this? It says, this is Brutus-level disloyalty. Even accepting the guy has no moral compass other than a bank account, I can never unsee what has been seen. He's clearly gone through the files in greater detail than I have, by the way. And he can't unsee it. If you know, I tuned into Bannon just at the start of his show, had it on in the background this morning while we were doing show prep. And the big stories, you know, the Board of Peace event. We got a live feed going straight to that where President Trump's talking about how great Witkoff and Kushner are. And then, you know, J.D. Vance gets up and says how great President Trump is. And then Rubio does the same. And there was a lot of praise for Rubio. And then the different approaches that they take. And, you know, President Trump didn't want Rubio to be too well-liked because it kind of competed with him. Ha, ha, ha. And then on and on it goes. So that was big story number one on Bannon's show. Then the big reveal, the Georgia election process, and how finally, 5-6 years on, it's being exposed. They cheated. Did you know this? They cheated in 2020. Well, we spent a fair bit of time on that in 2020, in 2021, because Joe Biden was the fake president. They did cheat. Stacey Abrams, Obama, all of them. And you throw COVID in. Anthony Fauci had his hand in it, the CCP. And through it all, we were sounding the alarm. This is criminal. This is banana republic. This is third world. People need to go to jail. People need to be prosecuted. There need to be indictments. Chris Krebs, all of them. Raffensperger, Sterling, Jeff, what is it? Jeff Shepard. All of these people that said, hey, this was the most perfect election ever. They lied. They lied. But do you think Bannon and his people are, you know, hard at work exposing the fraud in 2026? Because they know some of those bad actors need to go to jail? Or is it because they want an election that secures a MAGA victory in 2026 and beyond? It's all about winning elections. It's all about winning in 2026. It's all about winning in 2028. And as long as MAGA wins, America's being saved. As long as MAGA wins, America is righteous. As long as MAGA wins, there's a King's Chapel. There's a religious resurgence. There's righteousness, peace, love to go around. Which means that all that matters to so many of these people is just winning elections. Or to put it another way, to hold on to power. We said all through the Obama years and then the fake presidency years, look at what these people are willing to do to hold on to power. And of course, in that case, they were lying, stealing, cheating, everything. And there's nothing, it's not like there's anything wrong with cleaning up the election rolls and making sure they don't cheat again in the future. But what about the ones who cheated in the past? How are they going to be punished? They are going to be punished in the same way that the Epstein client list is going to be punished. It's not going to happen. We're being overtaken by our sins. And then we're deceiving ourselves, saying that we're righteous. Look, we won. God saved his life at Butler. God brought him back. Well, he did. But that's just the point. God saved America. Election integrity doesn't save America. God does. Election integrity doesn't turn our hearts to God. Repentance does. We're at a point where nothing else matters except retaining power, holding on to power, as if some political party or institution can save America or save Britain. You go back at the start, the original Jeroboam, some important history here in 1 Kings 12. Verse 25 says, "Then Jeroboam built Shechem and Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein and went out from thence and built Penuel." Verse 26 of 1 Kings 12, it says, "And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. The throne of David is down in Judah. And he broke away from the throne. He rebelled against the throne. And then he said in his heart, well, I don't want my people to return to the throne of David. What can I do to hold on to power?" It says, "If this people go up and do sacrifice in the house of the Eternal at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of his people turn again unto their Lord, even to Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah." Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, "It is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt." It's another Exodus 32. You know, Moses is, they're separated from Moses, and Aaron and the others said, "Hey, let's create new gods. Let's create a golden calf." And by the way, read 1 Corinthians 10 and see what they descended into in just a matter of seemingly a few days. A sex orgy together with worship of God, the golden calf. Fake religion. When you rebel against the throne of David, look at what happens. You see an example in 1 Kings 12. You see an example in the UK with the royal family. And we're about to see an example with the Jeroboam administration here in the United States. The throne of David should galvanize the world. This is God's throne. This is God's government. This is God's family. Let's rally around the throne of God. Let's consider our ways. Let's try our hearts and turn to God in repentance. And then you can really begin to see the plan of saving in action. God, one where God saves, where God intervenes to save nations, to save communities, to save churches, to save individuals. God is the way. We had a Life and Teachings episode. I don't know if it was last week or the week before that we recorded. I forget which day it plays on. But we titled it, "Jesus Christ is the only way. There are no other options." And we're not talking here about fake Jesus or fake religion or religion in name only. I'm a good Catholic, and I sure love Jeffrey Epstein. I'm very religious, but I sure love dwelling with extraordinary people like Jeffrey Epstein. Not that kind of religion. True religion. The religion of the Bible. It's not like Jesus didn't associate with sinners. I mean, really, people caught up in egregious sins. But look into the Gospels and see what he said to them. See what kind of, I mean, if Jesus went to New York to cut off ties, he would have cut off ties. Look at how Jesus dealt with the woman caught in adultery in John 8, or I think it's John 9, one of those two chapters. Look at how he dealt with those that brought the woman forward, those that were also caught up in the sins of adultery and fornication and so on. This is the message our nation needs today. This is the message our people need. Go and sin no more. Turn to God, and God will save you. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.